welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Abby, that was awesome. Great songs. A couple of things. This thing's really loud, Hannah. Really loud. Thank you. When Isaac called me a month or so ago to ask me to preach on the 4th, he said, it seems like I'm always asking you to preach on a holiday. But anyway, he said, first thing he said was, don't preach on Independence Day. And I immediately knew what he was talking about because it's one of the hardest things a preacher has to do to come up with a theme sermon. And so he was wanting to give me the freedom to pray, and thank God for freedom today, right? But the freedom to preach what I felt God, and it's not an Independence Day message at all. Another thing I'm very grateful for, part of our liberties and freedoms that we now have, that there's no toilet paper shortage anymore, really. Really glad about that, but... We're going to be looking today at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to be starting with verse 14, and we're going to be continuing on down through chapter 4 and verse 2a, just the very, very, very first part of that. I know there was something else I was wanting to say. Oh, I know what it is. Y'all might see the way I'm dressed, and I do hope that you don't judge me this morning. But they was talking Wednesday night about us being homeless, and anyway, I have no idea where I pack my good clothes. Okay. Before, I know Debbie already prayed, but I told her I'd probably have to pray for myself anyway, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, and we just thank you for those ancient words. And Lord, it's that we want to focus on here today. And I pray, God, that you would teach us the things that we need to know and hear and understand. And that you would enlighten us, Lord, and fill us with your spirit. Lord, we need to feel the freedom, the liberty that we can have in Christ Jesus. And I pray that you would just fill us up with your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm so thankful today that I don't have to put my confidence in myself. I was thinking for a few weeks now, just what it was like when I was a kid. I was watching Cade bat the other night, and just, you know, and watching Hallie do her things, playing basketball and stuff, and the big shows, and the kids go out there, I remember how it was like when I was a kid, and I'd get so nervous. I mean, I just absolutely, before I had to go up and bat, I couldn't hit the ball because I was so nervous about going up there and afraid that I wouldn't do right. I'm the same way today. I'm just that nervous today, but I don't have to put my confidence in my ability here. It's not about me at all. It's all about Jesus and what he wants to accomplish in us. And so, in verse 14, it says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. And, you know, there's just a lot here that I want to talk about today. Of course, Paul is talking directly to Timothy in this portion of Scripture, and he's giving him the start of a charge to go out, and we're going to end with this, but to go out and preach the Word. And Paul wanted Timothy to preach the Word in full confidence that God was able and going to preach through him. And that's the confidence that we need to have whenever we go out into the world, and whenever we get in front of people and we get to the place where we really need to share the gospel. Don't put your confidence in yourself, but put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit and what He can do for you. But it says you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of. And that assurance is the greatest thing, to know that you know. And a lot of things like know that you have confidence in God's Word is what we're talking about here. But first of all, you need to know that you know that if you died right now, that you'd go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus. And that's the greatest thing that you need to be sure of in this life. We come into this life as babies, and you know, we are nurtured and strengthened. We just look at little Riggins and how helpless he is as a baby. I mean, absolutely, he has to depend on his mom and dad or whoever's right there for everything that he needs. I mean, just to be fed and to be changed and to be bathed and all of that. And he can't speak for himself, and so thankful that, you know, that he has caring parents that speak for him and that take care of him and nurture him and strengthen him until he can grow up to one day be able to walk and to talk and to think for himself and to do for himself and feed himself and all of those things. And I pray today that you have that kind of assurance that you know that you know that you know. I mean, this is the most important thing you'll ever answer, is that you know that you know that you know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven to be with Jesus. If you don't have that confidence today, Jesus wants to put that assurance in you. And we're going to be talking more about that a little later on. But it says, the things that you have learned and been assured of. I mean, we get confidence. I get confidence whenever I'm studying to preach like this. I get confidence through the Holy Spirit confirming to my heart the very passage that He wants me to speak on. And, you know, it's very evident to me the way that He brings conviction into my heart. He brings a humbling spirit. I mean, I just sitting back there praying that God would continue to humble me before I got up here, because I don't want to be in the way and I don't want to hinder somebody coming to Christ or somebody coming and gaining the knowledge that they need to gain in the Word of God today. But it says that you have learned and been assured of and knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, Timothy had some very good teachers in his life, and I've had some tremendous teachers in my life. I was just thinking as I was reading this, you know, about people, I've mentioned these names before, but people like James King, and who was my pastor when I was a little boy, think about Juanita Jones teaching Sunday school class, and just thinking about, you know, I don't know what inspired, Holy Spirit obviously inspired Robert and Pat to come, and I think, did they live in Kansas City and was at seminary when they was, and they would drive up every Sunday, and a lot of times, you know, we'd go to the people's houses to eat dinner, and sometimes even to our house to eat dinner, you know, so that they could stay there and preach, and you know, what would cause somebody to come to this little bitty country church of 20, 30, 40 people in it, you know, in backwards North Missouri, and what would cause them to go and to preach like that? I mean, it's just amazing the people that we've had in our lives who have taught us the Word of God, who have really, so that we could have confidence, so that we could have assurance, so that we could stand up here and say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven to be with Jesus. I can say that with full confidence because of the Holy Spirit at work in me. I'm in great conviction in my life and great humility that God humbles us and brings us under Him. But Timothy here, he had some great mentors like Paul. Can you imagine sitting at the feet of Paul, listening to him speak? I mean, it's tremendous. But he also had his mom and his grandmother who taught him the Word of God from very young age. And, you know, what a great privilege and blessing that is. That may not be your story. There might be even somebody here who's hearing the gospel for the first time and really not understanding what it's all about. Didn't have the blessing that I have of being raised in church in a godly home and raised to understand God. But, you know, it doesn't really matter, because God is able that through whatever circumstance of your life, to bring you to the place where you can truly know, you can truly have that kind of confidence. But he says here in verse 5, he says that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. It's able to make you wise for salvation, it says here. I mean, the confidence that I have in the gospel of Jesus Christ began on the day that I come to the altar and I knelt down on my knees and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I had deep conviction of sin, and I had a great need in my life, and God was the only one that could fill that need, and God was the only one that could come in and forgive my sin. God was the only one who could come in and cause me to have the kind of fellowship that God wants us to have with Him. And so it says here that this is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And I pray that you put your faith in Christ Jesus today. It says here in verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I believe, you know, I don't know what you believe about God's Word, but I believe from cover to cover that this is the inspired Word of God. And I believe it's complete and whole. I believe it's all we need. That song we just sang, talk about the ancient words, about words of life, ever true. And, you know, it truly, truly is God's Word, God-inspired Word. And He has inspired His Word for us. It goes on to talk about that. He says that He inspired this Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And first of all, I want to say that it was given as a gift to you. It was given as a precious gift to you, the Word of God. God has given it to you so that you can find the words of life, so that you can find everything that you need to know and understand what it means to be saved from your sin, what it means to be free in Christ Jesus, what it means to be set free from your life of sin and set on that life, that path to heaven. And so it says here that it's a gift given by inspiration of God, and it says it's profitable. I mean, it'll do much for you. There's much that God wants to do in your favor. It's profitable. I mean, it really is something that you could take to the bank this morning. Not the farmer's bank up here, but the bank in heaven that God has for you. He is He's put an account in your name whenever you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And He signed on the dotted line. Jesus Christ signed on the dotted line in red when He gave His life for you so that you can have life everlasting. It said all Scripture has been an inspiration of God, and it's profitable for you. I mean, it's of great value to you. And it says it's profitable for doctrine, first of all. And the doctrine is what we believe about God and what He has said to us through His Scripture and how we are to believe in our life. I mean, there's some basic things that, you know, in order to be a Christian, there's some basic things that you have to understand. First of all, you have to understand that Jesus Christ came here to identify with us. I mean, it says that He in all points become human so that He could identify with us. It was like God separated Himself for the purpose of coming down and visiting with man so that we could see who God is, and also He could identify with who we are. I mean, we can't just say, well, no, God, you're just this lofty God that lives up there in the heavens and you don't really understand what we're going through here on earth. We can't say that because Jesus came. Jesus gave up that heavenly home for a time, and He came down here to live among us so that He could identify with us. And so the basic things that we need to know is that Jesus Christ came and He lived upon this earth and that He died on the cross and that the Bible says that He was buried in a grave. And the Bible says, and you can take this to the bank and have confidence in it, that He rose from the dead. And He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf. He identified with us and He went all the way. He didn't stop short. He is the true Savior of the world. He's the true Savior of my life. And He wants to save us today. He wants us to be saved. But it's profitable for doctrine so that you can understand that. It's profitable so that you can understand the finer details about God's Word, about how we are to believe. The Ten Commandments says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. The Bible says to have no other gods before me in the Ten Commandments, and to not take the Lord's name in vain, and to honor your father and your mother, and to not steal and not kill, and it just goes on and on, but not bear false witness. I know that's only about 7 of the top 10, right? But that's all I can think of right now. So anyway, And that's the doctrine that it's talking about. That's the things that we need to understand about what God has shared with us in His Word, and what He wants us to see, and how He wants us to believe, and how He wants us to understand and come to that full acknowledgement of who He is and what He has done. Then it says it's also, it's profitable for reproof. And what is reproof? Well, New King James interpretation of that, but reproof literally means conviction of sin. It literally means that when I sin and fall short of God's glory, and just think about the love of God. I mean, God could have just said to Adam and Eve, said, well, you didn't listen to me. You're just on your own. God could have said to Brett Smith, you didn't follow my commandments. You're just on your own. No. The Bible says that He loved us so much that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. That while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. That reproof means conviction of sin. That I come under conviction about how I'd sinned against God, and I come to the altar and ask God to forgive me. That's the correction. That's the reproof. I mean, thank God for His love. Thank God for His reproof. Thank God that He corrected me, that He sent conviction into my life. Just think about how loving a God is who I disobeyed Him. I was disobedient to Him. I failed to live up to His standard and to His Word. And He loved me so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross that I could have conviction of sin and could come to a Savior. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is talking about God's love, the essence of His love. That is talking about how much He loved Brett Smith, that Jesus Christ died so that I can have life. And I thank God for the conviction of sin. And it says also for correction. I don't know about you, but I've needed to be corrected several times in my life. It's a moment-by-moment thing a lot of times. I mean, I mess up all the time. And a lot of times, you know, do things that would bring me harm. The other day, I throwed some gas in a burn barrel. And I was standing downwind of it when I lit the torch. And I thought camp gas wouldn't ignite like gasoline did, but I was wrong. It just poof, it put my face, you know. I mean, I wished I could have went back and corrected that before it happened. What's that? I told her she wouldn't have to trim my eyebrows that month, but it says for proof, reproof, and for correction. And we need that correction. And we need to get it correct in our lives. We need to get it right. Our life depends on it. Our life depends on getting it right. So you need that correction. You know, a lot of times in this world, people say, well, I don't need God. I don't want God telling me what to do. Well, that might work for you for a while. I mean, it might work for you while you're here. But the Bible says someday, every knee is going to bow, every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says that there is only one hope, and that's in Christ Jesus. You can stand in defiance of God, but God has the last word. You can stand in rebellion against God your whole life, but God has the final say. And it says, for instruction in righteousness, and this literally is that we had understand the right way to live, the right way to conduct ourselves. Verse 17 says, that the man of God may be complete. Lisa probably wished that I could be complete right now. And it doesn't mean that we're going to be complete right here. But God completes us. That means he's going to bring it to completion, and he's going to complete the work that begins in us. He's going to, even after we're gone, he's going to complete the work that even has started through ministries after we're gone. God's going to bring it to completion. God's going to do it. And it says that we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I just don't know about you, and I know it's because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the believer, but I just thank God for thoroughly equipping us. I mean, he's given us everything we need. There's nothing that I can stand here and say that I really need in my life other than Jesus Christ. And he's going to thoroughly equip you. He's going to bring it to completion. He's going to thoroughly equip you. And then here we come to this chapter 4, verse 1, to the charge. And this is our rally cry. And I think I preached on these verses not too long ago. And I talked about the rally cry that we had after 9/11, of let's roll. And this was the rally cry that Paul was giving to Timothy. And Paul was wanting to encourage Timothy to stay strong in the faith and to preach the word. I mean, to share the gospel wherever he went. God wants us to be able with our lives to share with others about what the Lord Jesus is doing in our hearts. But he said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say something that we really need to listen to. We all need to listen to. But it says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. We don't have a lot of time to fully develop all of that. There's a lot there. But Tuesday night we was talking at men's Bible study about this judgment seat of Christ. And for the believer, for those who know Jesus, have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, for the believer, that judgment seat is that we'll go stand before him one day and we'll give an account of what we've done since we come to Christ, how we've served him, how we've lived for him, how we've done the work that he's called us to, how faithful we were, how obedient we were, how much we preached the word and taught those around us. I mean, it's going to be quite a judgment. We was talking about that Tuesday, and I just talked about embarrassment and how, embarrassing things are that we do. And can you imagine standing in front of all of God's saved? And Robert Skeens was there, and he said he could imagine it being on a great big screen for all to see. We might laugh now, but we won't be laughing then. For all to see the things that we've done. And somebody else said, well, I imagine they'll be more concerned about their turn than they will about seeing what you've done. But the greatest thing about that judgment is that we will know that Jesus Christ knows. We'll know fully that he knows what we've done. He knows. He already knows. But we're really going to connect it. And then it says that then he's going to, it's going to go through the fire. Our the things that we've done is going to go through the fire. Whatever comes out on the other side, if anything does, if everything burns up, nothing will come out, and we'll just be in heaven and get to be with Jesus. But he said there'll be a reward for those who've been faithful. And that's the judgment for the believer. That's the judgment, it said, at his appearing. That's the judgment at his appearing. But then there's a judgment at his kingdom. And this is the judgment of the dead. And the Bible says, when you get towards the end of the book of Revelation, it says that God's going to cause the dead to rise. So the sea will give up its dead. The earth's going to give up its dead. And the dead's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The dead's going to stand, and they won't be given an account. But all that's going to happen is the books will be open, the Bible says. The book of life will be open, and if your name's not wrote in the book of life, the Bible says you're going to go to damnation. You're going to go to eternal torment, the place separated from God forever called hell and the grave. So you think about the love of God who sends conviction into your life so that you might come to Jesus Christ, or you think about rejecting that message and spending eternity in hell separated from God with this on your heart and mind every moment that you're there, that you failed in responding to the love of God. You failed to respond to the conviction of sin. You failed to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and forgive you of your sin. And to close this up, the final rally cry that Paul gave to Timothy was, preach the word. The saying says, preach the word and use words if you have to. And that means to live a life in such a way that your life preaches the word. To live every day of your life in such a way that people can just know that there's something about you that's different and that they want what you have. The freedom and liberty that we can have in Christ Jesus goes far beyond the independence that we gained on July 4th, 1776. The freedom that we can have in Christ Jesus is to be free from sin and to be free to go to heaven, to be free to set in the presence of God throughout eternity, to be free to feel the love. I mean, God wants to embrace you. He wants to love you. He wants to show you this love. He's extended this love. He's done the most that he could do to demonstrate this love by sending his only begotten son to die on the cross that you might have life everlasting. And God just pleads with you to come to Christ. God just pleads with you to feel the conviction and to get right, to feel the reproof and get corrected. God just begs of you to come to know Jesus as Savior. We're going to have our hymn of invitation. And as we sing, if the Lord has convicted you, your heart today, I want to ask you to come forward. And if you come forward, I'm going to ask you to get on your knees and to pray. I'll pray with you. I'll be up here to help you through this process, but you don't really need my help because all you really need is Jesus. All you really need is to take that step of faith that says, I need a Savior. I don't want to die in my sin. I don't want to be separated for eternity. I need to come to Jesus. It just takes that simple act of stepping out and stepping towards God. And God will do the rest. So if you are here this morning and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to come. When we have this invitation, I'm going to ask you to pray. There's lots of things that hold us back. There's lots of things that keeps people from coming. But, you know, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, none of those things are going to matter at all. Nobody, nothing you've done will matter. All that matters at the judgment seat of Christ is what you've done with Jesus. It's all that matters. So as we have this hymn of invitation, I'm going to ask Debbie to come. As we have this hymn of invitation, and you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you this morning, I want you to come. Just step out in faith and just come. Let's sing. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.